This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
All right, I ain't gonna lie, man. Quick confession. I went to see a movie with my daughter this weekend, Ron's Gone Wrong, and I don't know what it is, if it's old age, if it's being a parent or whatever, but I almost shed a tear during that movie. These kids movies these days, they're getting to me, man.
What is TWS podcast, episode whatever, who cares at this point?
The rant of the vindicator.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is this still live?
It's not working for me, Rick. We're gonna keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
When's ready.
I feel like the end is
staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
Welcome back to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy J.Dot Flam, representing the White Pants Society. And I must thank you first and foremost for taking a moment out of your day to come chill with me, talk about whatever it is we talk about here. And, you know, you could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me. And I greatly, greatly appreciate that. Intro music this week was, As Long As I Got You by the Charmels. I'm working on a DJ set as part of my like midlife crisis. So I'm doing like the songs that were sampled by other songs, you know. And that one like just stood out to me because like that beginning, like that's like it would really get you like. You know what you thought it was.
We tricked you. We tricked you. We tricked you.
Anyway, so I'm working on this DJ set. I've always wanted to, you know, I guess be a DJ. And no, I'm working on this DJ set, but no, I don't know how to DJ. I don't have any gear, but I'm working on a set. That's my business. And that's what I'm going to do. I do have like a, I did at one point buy like a Fisher Price, my first DJ controller thing. And I tried a little bit to like mess with it, you know. I don't know, thinking you could scratch on one of those things is a lie. I'm looking at one that's a little bit more expensive, maybe an upgrade, still not like professional level, because I'm never going to go like try to do gigs. I don't know, something about being like a 40-year-old DJ or just becoming a DJ at 40 sounds stupid, but I do like just want to, maybe for the podcast or throw some shit online. Or whatever, I don't know. Nothing's gonna come out of it, but I'm working on it anyway. That's what I'm doing. I thought that was a dope ass sample. Getting to the proceedings this evening. I actually have like an outline this time, so maybe this will be more of a focused episode. And we'll actually we'll talk about some things. We'll start with the usuals. This was a Chef Elise weekend. Had my time with my sweetie Petey and. And it was dope as usual. We went to go see Ron's Gone Wrong. I really don't know what it is. I don't know what it is about this time in my life or about just like kids, I think, have always gotten to me a little bit. Because there's a number of movies where I've almost shed a tear. And it's normally not like dramas and stuff like that. Like it's like kids movies and comedies, I think. Like the main one I bring up in terms of like movies that, and this one, I think I did drop a tear for this one, a silent one. Like I ain't cry with no boo hoo, but like, you know, I did like the little Indian that saw that somebody dropped some trash on the ground. But the kangaroo song scene in Big Daddy, I don't even like the kangaroo song. That every time, that gets me every time. But yeah, I'm not going to spoil the movie for anybody that's going to see Ron's Gone Wrong. But yeah, it had a scene in there with Like, I had to fight it. And my homie Chad was with me. You know, Chad and his girl, Chad and Stacy, you know, come out and they bring the twins with them. And we go do things. We tried to see Ron's Gone Wrong like 2 weeks ago, and that's when the movie theater had the projector situation. And so we went back and caught it this weekend. And so they was with me, so I knew I couldn't, like, I couldn't let it fall. I had to fight it. And I did. But it almost got me. I felt the need to admit that. But yeah, my time with Chef Elise this weekend definitely reminds me that I'm getting old. Like, I have a birthday coming up in less than a month, and I will be 40 years old, which is just weird to me, man, because I don't feel 40. Like, other than the fact that, like, my body is falling apart at a rapid pace right now. Like, I first broken bone this year. You know, the ER visits and stuff. Like, it's crazy in terms of, like, just how medical issues and things are propping up all of a sudden, like, right next to my 40th birthday. But other than that, like, mentally, I don't feel like, I guess, what I expected a 40-year-old to feel like. Like, I don't feel super mature. I don't feel like an adult a lot. I don't know. I feel like a kid with a little bit more money and some responsibilities. But other than that, I didn't know this was what 40 was supposed to feel like. And, you know, things were supposed to be different. Like, you know, as a kid, I envisioned 40. I used to tell people I was going to the Air Force Academy. I was going to do the military. I was going to 20 years in the military, retire, and then do something else. So, around this time, I should have been looking forward to retirement, you know, the wife and kids, the house, picket fence, all that good stuff. I had them kind of dreams too. Girls, y'all not the only ones. And it didn't, you know, what they say, when you make plans, God is known to laugh. Like, yeah, he's hilarious. But, but, you know, it is what it is. Things turned out how they turned out. And I am approaching 40. But I don't feel like it. But this weekend with Chef Elise definitely, like, shed light on just how old I am, how much the world has changed. My daughter's school is having a book fair, right? And I remember the book fair growing up. Like, that was a dope time of year. Like, it was something to look forward to. You know, mom was gonna give me, you know, a little bit of money. Maybe it came from relatives or whatever. It wasn't going to be a lot, but it was going to be a little bit of money. I get to go to the book fair, and I get to make a decision about what I want to purchase. It was a book, so nobody was going to be mad, and it was all, like, you know, curated or whatever for children of my age. It was like my first lesson in money management, you know, because I might only get $5-$10 was a good year, and then you go in there and it's like, how do I get the most bang for my buck? Like, you was looking at prices and stuff, and you just figured out, like, I could get one book that may be the book I really want for the whole five. Or I could split this up and get a couple of little books that I kind of like. You know, it was definitely, it was a moment. I remember it vividly, fondly, you know, going into the library, and they had it, you know, set up a little bit where there was books out there that you could purchase, and I was able to make a purchase. Well, my daughter's in kindergarten, and her school is having a book fair, and it's so different, man. It's so, so different. I had to set up an e-wallet for her. Like, so it's all digital. Like, so she don't go there with cash. This is not a money management lesson. I mean, I guess by the time she's of age, like, cash will be a forgotten thing. It'll be like all Bitcoin or something. Like, everybody be Dogecoin. Is it Doge or Dogs? I don't know. Whatever. It'll be all digital currency and nothing. Like, there will be no paper money. She is learning, like, coins and stuff like that. So every time I see her, she's like, Dad, do you know how much 50 pennies is? It's a half dollar. And I'm like, what? You know, like, you know, that crazy shit as a parent where you got to pretend like, you got to walk that fine line between, I know stuff, so don't think you're smarter than me, and, oh, you told me something that shocked me. Like, I got to pretend like, oh, I learned something today. Thank you, Elise. I didn't know how much 50 pennies was. I'd be wanting to say, like, yeah, of course I know how much 50 pennies was. Do you know how many pennies I spent on your aftercare every... Anyway, she got an e-wallet for the book fair. And I think right now she's got like $50 in her e-wallet for the book fair. I'm like, $50 for a kindergartner for books? But yeah, some of the books was like $20. Looking at the little online store, it's all online. And whatever she doesn't spend at the book fair, we can spend on the online store. It's really crazy to me. But like, that's how much things have changed. Like, that's 40 years worth of change. Not quite 40, but you know, that's several decades worth of change. And the book fair ain't even the book fair no more. The other thing she taught me this weekend, which was really crazy to me, is you know, I try to have conversations with her and just find out how school is going. Andrew don't come up nearly as much. You know, if you're not familiar with the show, Andrew is the source of all evil in the world for some reason. He's always the bad guy. It's always, you know, Daddy and Elise versus Andrew. And Andrew is always the kid who gets cold for Christmas. And like, yeah, just anything bad that can happen to a child because that child is not a good person, it's Andrew. His name still does pop up, but not quite as much. But yeah, we talk about school and what's going on and her friends. I try to get the lowdown on her social life and how all that's working. And she was talking to me. I asked her, you know, what they do in school and what, you know, what games she plays with her friends. And she started talking to me about no-no games. And I was like, ooh, like, no-no games. Like, I guess, you know, nothing for me to be scared about. These are games that they're not allowed to play because they're no-no games. And tag is a no-no game. Like, fucking blew my mind. Tag? Like, you know, like, that's... I don't know. Like, that's got to be 75% of the recess activities for me at that age or for years to come. Before anybody got a football or something like that, that's what we did. We played tag. Tag, freeze tag. Like, that was the shit. Like, I mean, there's a hole in there like a... I guess it's for old people, but there's like a tag, there's like an adult tag league or something. Like, you can be a professional tag player. There was a whole movie, but it's a no-no game now. I was like, no-no game. And I guess it's a no-no game, according to Elise, because it's a touching game. I was like, all right, when you put it like that, it's a touching game. I kind of see, like, I don't know. You don't got to call it a touching game. It's just tag. But if you call it a touching game, then... yeah, that's, I don't want you playing touching games. Let's draw a line there somewhere. Like, let's figure out how to establish people shouldn't be touching you. Don't be letting people touch you. But it's tag, though. I don't know. When she called it a touching game, I kind of got it. I got it. And I was ready to let it go. And then she continued on. And the part I took offense with is that, you know, and she's got to be getting this from somewhere. She's got to be being taught this, and I'm guessing this is what they're being taught in school. It went from it's a no-no game because it's a touching game, and it's disrespectful. These are my daughter's words. Like, tag is disrespectful. What is going on? What has happened? Like, what has happened in the world where, like, tag... it's evil. Something wrong. It's disrespectful. Like, what is disrespectful about tag? I wish I could play freeze tag right now. Like, that shit was the bomb. Man. That was greatest game ever. I don't get it. I don't get it. But yeah, I've seen the world change and like how parenting changes, and like my new age version of what my mom used to do. I think I tried to pull an old, like, parent move. I did my version of, like, giving a kid Dimetapp to put him to sleep. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. I can feel you judging me. And it's not as bad as it seems. But I did my version. We went out on the patio, like, before bedtime. She wanted to read books. I'm like, we're going to go out. We're going to read a book. Dope thing is she wanted to read, like, a science book. I went on Amazon and I bought her this book because it had a black girl on it with like natural hair, and it was about science. And that's all you got to do to sell me something. So I bought the book. I didn't look at the age. It's way too old for her. But like, it's in her room and she sees it. And I'll come in here and she's got like a little princess tent. And she'll be in the tent with all her stuffed animals. And that's the book that'll be in there. I don't know if she's reading it to the stuffed animals or not. I don't know if she's understanding what's going on in it. But that's the book that she picked for us to read on the balcony. It's Ada Twist or something like that. And it's like the little girl making observations about the world around her and, like, you know, going through the scientific method, hypothesis, and your observations and experiments and stuff like that. So it's dope that she's interested in it. That's what she wanted to read. So we went out on the patio and we drank tea. I brewed some of the tea that I drink to calm me down and to get me ready for bed, hoping it would do the same for her. And it's a good tea. It tastes like apples and cinnamon. I thought she would like that. I did dilute it. I didn't give her straight up like herbal tea for to try to put her to sleep. It didn't work. It didn't work at all. Seemed like she got amped up more. There was no caffeine in the tea. It didn't work. But I tried to do my version of drugging the kids, and it didn't work at all. But I understand why my mom did it. I get it. But yeah, Chef Elise, dope time. You know, always a dope time with Chef Elise. And we made cornbread, and I had to fight this the whole time. My ex-wife introduced me to, it was out the box, I don't think I did anything special, but my ex-wife had introduced me to, I don't know how it's pronounced, how it's supposed to be pronounced, I'm guessing it's like crusties. I know what I'm talking about with the K. We always called it crusty ass, because that was just, you know, and we was grown ass people, we was 30 plus year old people calling the cornbread crusty ass, because that's how immature we are. So I'm saying, I don't feel 40 at all. So we made some crusty ass cornbread this weekend, and that felt like a dope experience, having cornbread with my daughter. I'm sure she's had it. I don't know if I've been around her when she's had cornbread before, but she acted like it was a revelation. You know, you had butter sandwiches, you know, just take the cornbread, put some butter in there, melt, make sure it's soft and softened or whatever, maybe hit it in the microwave. She wanted a drizzle of honey on hers. We did it big. But yeah, I had a butter sandwich and cornbread with my daughter, and dope moment. But also reminds me that I'm fucking old. Another thing reminded me how old I am is how irritated I am by everything in the world. It's really getting hard, because I'm on this kick where I'm like, you don't put your energy into the bullshit. Like, you don't put your energy into the stuff that you don't like, that you don't want to see more of, because you give it more exposure. You know, if there's somebody that wasn't aware of some of the bullshit that happened and you start talking about it, now they're aware, now they might go look it up, and then just clicking on it, now the person that posted it thinks that this is how you get attention, so they're going to post more of it. So I'm trying to like avoid giving my energy and talking about the stuff in the world that I don't like, and it's turning into like 95% of the shit that's out there. And man, there's a lot that happened this week that it'd have been easy for me to do an episode on just shit that I'm upset about, or shit that I don't agree with, or I want to vent about, or whatever, you know. But there's names I'm not gonna ever say again. I'm not gonna ever give attention to again. I'm trying not to shed light on bullshit news stories and misinformation. It's a ton of that. That is killing me more than anything else. It's just how quick we are to like spread bullshit information, and like how something almost becomes real until somebody's like, dude, that was bullshit. Like, you, and it, I don't know. It seems like the correction gets whispered, you know, the correction gets like lightly thrown out there, whereas the misinformation is everywhere all at once, in your face, everybody see it, and then you might catch the correction. Like, do they even do retractions and stuff like that anymore? I'm going to say this, because I'm not spreading any light on any one particular situation. This is how, if we're going to do this cancel culture thing, like, this is how I feel we should handle it, because this is what's not happening. people say stuff, they push it, and they push it in your face like I'm woke and I know better than you, and you sleep if you don't believe me, kind of shit, you know. And they push it, and then it turns out to be 100% horseshit, and then they never address the fact that 2 days ago you was ready to die on this hill about some shit that's just founded in nothingness, like absolute nothingness. And then they just go on to the next thing with the same level of confidence and bravado about you being stupid and being asleep and them being woke when they was just wrong 2 days ago. And they'll never address that. I feel like if you get caught out there, because it's okay to be wrong, but if you get caught out there, especially if you one of them, I'm a die on this hill, I'm gonna fight the world, all y'all stupid and I'm smart kind of people. If you get caught out there, then you don't have to admit that you're wrong, but you can't say anything else until you do. If you say something else, the immediate response should be, oh, you the nigga that was on that bullshit last week, shut the fuck up. And that's all you should get until you can say, you know what, I was on some bullshit last week, that was wrong, I'm going to do better about checking my facts or making sure before I start spreading information, I know what the fuck I'm talking about and calling all y'all stupid. My bad. But here's something I learned this week. Like, you should at least have to address it. Address the elephant in the room. It's like when somebody owe you money and they don't pay you back and you see them and they don't never mention it. They don't never say nothing about it. Because that's how I am. Like, I'm not going to ask you for my money. If I loaned you it, it's because I don't loan more than I can give. And if I loaned you it, it meant that if it didn't come back, I wasn't going to be hurt. But if you told me it was coming back, I expect it to come back. If it don't come back, then something between us has changed. And you should know it. I know it. And you need to at least address it in order for things to get back. So I think we should force people to address it. I ain't mean to go down that rabbit hole. But, so instead of giving my energy to the shit that I don't like, I know I just did, but, there is some dopeness in the world that I experienced this week, other than Ron's Gone Wrong, almost making me cry. I watched that Netflix movie that Jay-Z produced or was involved in, is listed as a producer. What is it? Guns Go Bang? Nah, that's not the, what is it? The name of it is Harder They Fall. I really feel like the name should have been Guns Go Bang for some reason. I mean, that to me encapsulates the movie pretty accurately. It's a dope-ass movie, though. But that's the story of the movie, Guns Go Bang, pretty much. And it's some actual historical figures in them, or the names of the people in the movie are real people. And that brought the question. I saw this question brought up in posts and stuff earlier this week, which was just, is it better that like the movie shows that these people existed? Because when they talk about when you think about Westerns and stuff like that, you don't typically think about like there being a black equivalent or a black contemporary, is that the word? I don't know. Of like a Billy the Kid or something like that. Like, and it's almost like we in this thing like, oh yeah, I wasn't the only people out there murdering and robbing motherfuckers. We was murdering and robbing right along with you. We was just as notorious, motherfucker. Like, but is it better like that this movie makes it known that these people existed, even though the story is fictional? And a lot of the actual real life stories of the people, of the names of, you know, that were depicted in the movie are movie worthy. Like, they got actual stories that, you know, would make dope films. But this was like a purely fictional film. And they said that like right at the beginning, and I only saw it because I was looking for it, because I had, you know, read an article about the movie before I watched it, which went into detail of like the backstories, the real life backstories of these characters, and how interesting their actual backstories are, and that they could have, you know, been movies on their own. And so when I started the movie, like, you get the Netflix logo, and then the first thing it says is this story is completely fictional or something like that. And then it fades to black, and then it comes back and it's like, but these people did exist. And it's like, I don't know, it happens so fast that, you know, you turn on a Netflix movie, you ain't immediately staring at the screen, so you could easily miss the this is completely fictional and then just see these people did exist and then watch this movie, you know, and then all of a sudden, maybe, because, you know, folks these days, I'm not giving energy to negativity, but folks these days, I just talked about it, like, folks these days don't fact check and don't look at stuff, so it could be some people floating around. Like, Nat Love was a motherfucker. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. Stagecoach Mary was out there. You know, I'm just saying. But yeah, I don't know what was better. I think it's dope that, like, now we, you know, if you didn't know, you know that some of these people existed, and you can take the, you know, initiative to go look at their actual dope real life stories if you want to. But I hope we don't fall into a, you know, believe in the fiction, because they missed, like, that first blurb, that first disclaimer that flashed across the screen for, you know, 2 seconds to let you know the story was fictional. But it was a dope movie. I really enjoyed the movie. If you haven't seen it, I say go see it. I love these black ensemble casts, and it was a good cast of characters. It was funny. A lot of action. It kept my attention. A lot of movies. I typically turn on movies to fall asleep to. And I didn't turn this one on until, like, I don't know, 11 o'clock last night after I watched the football game. And so there was potential for me not to see the entire movie. There was a lot of potential. I'm almost 40. Like, starting a movie at 11 o'clock typically means I'm not even going to make it to act two. But this one held my attention. I watched the whole movie. And I think it was just dope across the board. One more time. Guns go bang. The Harder They Fall is the name of the movie. The Harder They Fall. I think my favorite character in the movie was Lakeith Stanfield's character. He was probably, you know, my favorite. His performance was super dope. And he played a Lakeith Stanfield kind of dude. Like, I hope he hasn't, you know, pigeonholed himself into a specific kind of role, but this was a very Lakeith Stanfield role. Deion Cole was almost unrecognizable. Shouts to Deion Cole. But Lakeith Stanfield's character was probably my favorite. I wasn't sure if we were still fucking with him or not, though. I didn't know. I remember seeing his name involved in, like, some cancelable type bullshit a while back. But I think the dude is a dope actor. He's been in a couple of my favorite films recently. And this was another great performance. I put him up there with, like, the Wood Harris type characters. Like, it's just, they've done some iconic things. They've done some really dope things. They seem to be super artistic and very into their craft. And that's how I feel about Lakeith Stanfield. Nobody asked me, but in case you were wondering, but yeah, dope movie. If you haven't seen it, I suggest you go see it. I feel like I've stayed on topic today, and here's where I go off the rails. Last but not least, I thought about whether or not I'm addressed this or not. And now that I've, like, said it, I feel like I have to address it. I like when people ask, like, put stuff on the What Is TWS, like, Facebook group or Twitter, or somebody, like, DMs me or something and like, seems to be seeking out my opinion, or maybe the opinion of the 6 listeners that I have to this show. And somebody posted in the What Is TWS Facebook group, and I thought about, like, responding to the post there, but in my experience, I'm far less likely to get backlash by doing it here, because nobody listens to this shit, than I am doing it. If I put it on Facebook, like, Twitter fingers, Facebook fingers, or whatever, them joints is quick. I'm gonna be in some shit, like, immediately. It's gonna be an argument. It's gonna be a lot of virtue signaling and people taking stances on shit that they don't really care about. They just like to oppose folk for whatever reason. But I'm going to keep this very, very vague and very vague intentionally. I am a far more cancelable and far less funny Dave Chappelle. And yeah, I can't dodge raindrops like he did. So we're going to be very vague, very vague. I will say this. In my personal opinion, I think that you should never have to, and that it is in your best interest to never do this anyway. But I feel like you should never have to, and you should never tell a person or tell the world who or what you are. I feel like when you do that, when you campaign to make sure people know who and what you are, you really only open the door for people to disagree with you. Because you have zero control over how the world perceives you. And who you are and who people think you are don't have to match up. And that doesn't change anything. If I don't see you as who you believe you are, it doesn't change who you are. You know, and one of us is wrong, and that's okay. You probably have more information than I do, so more than likely you're right. And you know, I don't know. You can let a person live in their wrongness as long as they're not trying to take nothing from you, deny you something, harm you in any kind of way. Their idea of who you are is just out of your control, and I feel like trying to force people's hands to accept a certain perception of you only creates a situation of insincerity. You know, if you do gain enough leverage to force someone to at least appear to perceive you the way you want to be perceived, then you just create a situation where all your interactions or the majority of your interactions are false. There are people pretending to see or say what it is they think will make you comfortable, will keep them out of harm's way, will keep them from facing any sort of retaliation. And that's a lonely world. I lived in that world in terms of feeling like the interactions between me and other people were insincere because they didn't know who I actually was, because I was pretending to be someone. And so even the person that they were close to was not the real me. So I never felt close to anybody. I feel like if you're walking through the world and you know that the only reason or one of the reasons that people talk to you or address you in a certain way is because they're afraid not to, I think that puts a barrier between you and that person. And it's like the most unsafe situation you could possibly be in. I tell Chad, my white friend, I like my racism out in the open, up front. I like to know who my enemies are. I like to know what you really think about me. I like to know, you know, how to navigate the world and not just have a whole bunch of people, you know, saying what it is I want to hear and me never knowing what the truth is. And in terms of the truth, you know, if you live in your truth, or whatever, you know, that thing is, you know, I don't quite agree with that idea of your truth, my truth, his truth, her truth. But if it is your truth, the cool thing about the truth, that's going to be one of my catchphrases. The cool thing about my beliefs, the cool thing about the truth is that, you know, it exists whether or not you believe in it or not. You don't have to believe it, agree with it, you know, see it the same way. Recognize it, anything. You can believe the complete opposite. It don't change reality from being reality. It don't change the truth from being the truth. So somebody else's opinion about your truth is irrelevant. And I think these campaigns to try to control the mass truth are just, you know, put people in a dangerous situation. It's I don't know that you want to live that way. Like, I don't know. Let it be what it is. And the truth is going to come out eventually. You know, it's going to be, people can fight it or not acknowledge it. And it will continue to exist. And at some point we'll all have to face it. So, that's my soapbox for today, ladies and gentlemen. I just needed to get that off my chest in response to something on the What Is TWS Facebook group. If you're not a member of the What Is TWS Facebook group, the White Pants Society, come check us out. Come participate in the conversations. You know, throw your stuff up there if it's something you'd like to hear my long-winded, uninformed opinion on. But and I'll do it, as you can see. And that's all I got for this week. I think this was a little bit focused, more focused, on point. I feel good about it. I hope you feel good about it. I hope you feel good about you and don't give a fuck how anybody else feels. It's hard, easier, you know, said than done, but we can get there. We can get there together. And with all that said, go watch Wrong's Gone Wrong. Let me know if it made you cry. Check out The Heart of They Fall. I would say donate to my daughter's e-wallet, but I think she got way too much money in there as it is right now. And I'm not one of them kind of people. And be looking out for my DJ set. I'm coming. I need a DJ name. Hit me with some suggestions. But with all that, until we speak again, y'all be safe, be easy, be the light, and know this, if you know nothing else, I love you. Holla.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then, you might realize it later.
Love.